Cricket buddies, the name is Larry Quiddirai. It is another episode of the Clubhouse End podcast. Tripping over my words a little bit there. Very excited about a lot of cricket that is happening in Zimbabwe. And Zimbabwe's got a lot of cricket that's happening. A lot of cricket news I've got for you. I'm going to talk about the Pro 50. Also going to talk about the women's cricket after the girls did not do very well. And the under 19 news that just came from the ICC. But I'm going to start with the biggest news to come in as far as Zimbabwe is concerned. Zimbabwe has been allocated along with Namibia and South Africa the right to co-host the ICC Men's Cricket World Cup in 2027. The decision was confirmed on Tuesday after finalizing the host countries for each of the next eight men's global events between 2024 and 2031. Those will be the first time in 24 years that the 50-over extravaganza will be returning to Africa since Zimbabwe, South Africa, and Kenya co-hosted in 2003. And this is the first time it will be exclusively hosted within Southern Africa, because last time it had to go a bit to Kenya. It also had the drama of the back then when England didn't come to play in Zimbabwe and New Zealand did not go to play in Kenya, both over security reasons. The less they said about that, the better. So looking at it, before I quote chairperson Davingo Mkhuhlane was quoted as saying by the Zimbabwe cricket, I want to say this is a big deal. This is a big deal, guys. Getting a global tournament of any sort. Zimbabwe has been hosting the qualifiers, hosted in 2018 qualifiers. The ones with that UAE thing, as I say, the less to say it about that, the better, because I still want to stab myself in the eye over that, that match. I was working back in the background for that as a media manager. I could tell you, it was like a funeral the moment that match finished. And it showed that cricket was really popular in Zimbabwe, because the number of people, the sheer weight of the number of people that were there, really tuned in, wanting Zimbabwe to win, was just, yeah, it was great. But then, you know what happened. UAE beat us, and then we missed a World Cup for the first time. And then we missed the second, the next one, because of government interference. The less said about that again, the better. And in 2019, we also hosted a qualifier, the women's qualifier, which is won by the ladies. We were not meant to host the 2021 qualifier that I'll talk about a little bit later, but Sri Lanka pulled out of that one. So we are hosting it, and Zimbabwe is hosting eight other countries, because Papua New Guinea has pulled out of the World Cup qualifier. And then we're hosting the 2023 qualifier, that is the ODI qualifier. So there is a lot of confidence in the ICC when it comes to Zimbabwe's capabilities of hosting tournaments that have a bunch of people. But all of these have been a step or two below the main competition itself. Of the four competition I've told is only the one that is two steps below. The other ones are a step below the global qualifier. So I kind of think, in a way, the ICC has been throwing some of these tournaments at us, rather, because of, as a dress rehearsal. And Tavengwa Mkhuhlane said, "This is fantastic news coming after we worked hard and with determination as a group to get the World Cup back on our soil. And this is clearly a vote of confidence in what we as Zimbabwe cricket are doing and what we as Africa can do. We are humbled by the trust that the ICC has placed in our bid and thrilled by the opportunity we have been given to put cricket on a new sustainable path for generations to come. On our part, we are ready to ensure the ICC Men's Cricket World Cup 2027 stands out as a unique event that celebrates Africa in all its magnificent splendor, richness, vibrancy, diversity, and glory." Now, I want to make reference to a section that says, "A clear vote of confidence in what we as Zimbabwe cricket are doing." Just 2 years ago, Zimbabwe cricket was suspended by the ICC. Okay? The one that I mentioned over there. 2 years later, Zimbabwe cricket is not only hosting the Women's Global World Cup qualifier and not only host the Men's Global World Cup qualifier, but has been given the right to host a Cricket World Cup proper. Yes, with South Africa and Namibia, but still co-hosting. That is a vote of confidence in where Zimbabwe cricket is going. And that's got to be something for everybody in the game to celebrate. Whatever you think about the administration, whatever the case may be, but it's redemption. The fact that the ICC is looking at itself, we think there will be stability in this country. We think that there will be stability in as far as the game is concerned. We think by 2027 they'll be a lot better than they are right now, or that they were certainly a lot better than 2019 when we're about to be kicked out of by the ICC. But it essentially says, well, it's redemption for Zimbabwe, because if the Sports and Recreation Commission had had their way in 2019. There's no 2021 qualifier. There's no 2023 qualifier, and certainly not hosting the ICC Men's Cricket World Cup in 2027. So congratulations to everyone concerned. Zimbabwe, as I said, is going to be hosting. Now, if you want to know how the hosting took place, the ICC said the host was selected via a competitive bidding process. So this is not just handing out. Overseen by a board subcommittee chaired by Martin Snedden, along with Sourav Ganguly and Ricky Skerritt. The awarding of the rights to preferred hosts is subject to the completion of the host agreements, and the ICC will now work closely with members to finalize agreements. 17 members submitted a total of 28 proposals to host the 8 ICC men's white ball events. So yeah, this is magnificent news. The second bit of news to talk about is the women's cricket. They played against Bangladesh and they lost all three matches, and heavily. It was bad, eh? Yeah, it was not great. Sean Myers, on her debut in the second match, suffered a first ball duck, but then she got back in the second match and got into her 30s. Not many scores around. Zimbabwe did something that they don't do very often, that is batting first. So against a very strong side in Bangladesh. Look, like I said in the first episode, I don't think that we should be expecting too much from our ladies in as far as this tournament is concerned. Not because they're not going to try. Our ladies are going to give it a fist fight. They're going to fight no matter what. It's just that the gulf in terms of experience and class that exists at the moment is just way too much. If we had got an ODI status, let's say about 2 years ago, then you might say you got 2 years experience. But we just got it in March. And so we're really climbing up, fighting up against it. When you're looking at teams like Bangladesh, they've had ODI status since 2011. Ireland have had ODI status since the 80s. And a whole lot more up. The West Indies have been finalists at some point. So, we have to be realistic about where we are. I was saying the other day on Twitter that a lot of these girls are the first people in their family to ever play cricket, period, for their country. In fact, let's not even go that far. They're in their family, sorry. Some of them are the first people in their family to play anything at representative level in their family and among people they know, but other than cricketers, like male cricketers and so forth. So a lot of them are learning how to play ODI on the job. The game management that takes place in a T20 match is completely different from the game management that takes place in an ODI match. As you can see, one of the big things that you can't fix overnight is fitness. And we have, we have issues like, for example, Marianne Musonda, who is the captain. She's hobbling from one match to the next. And this is a 50 over game. She's doing her best. And this is all you can ask the girls to do. There's a difference between when people are playing and not doing their best and losing terribly, and when people are playing and doing their best, but you know that they're just, well, a bit out of their depth. And that's what you've got to face the qualifier as. The girls have all gone into camp. Most of the teams, if not all, actually all the teams have arrived. So we're going to have a very exciting festival of cricket starting on the 21st of October. Clark crowds will be allowed at a certain percentage. I didn't get the information. I was still trying to get information for how much tickets will cost, but the government statute is that no more than 30% of no more than 30% of the venue may be filled. So yeah, it's an exciting festival of cricket. Whatever happens, just remember what that is. It's like when we watched the T20 World Cup just a couple of days ago. And funny enough, the men's cricket is already back in action. New Zealand just played India. India winning that match with two balls to spare. We have to accept, we have to love it for what it is. It's a festival of cricket. I'll be doing as many podcasts during the tournament as possible, because there's a lot of opportunity to get all types of amazing content from the different people that are involved in cricket. There's a unique time. I don't know when next we'll have so many women's teams within our country playing cricket at the same time. So it is a big moment for Zimbabwe. It's a big moment. It's an endorsement for Zimbabwe as a country. It's an endorsement of ourselves as a safe destination for tourism. I know it's sad that they're going to be in a bubble, so they can't really go around and see what the country has to offer. But I know when the Irish ladies were here, they took it some time to go to a game park. Maybe they will do that on their time off and go off in a bubble. We don't know. So yeah, the tournament starts on the 21st of November and ends on the 5th of December. The Pro 50 tournament has started. Zimbabwe's Pro 50 tournament, our one day competition. And so far, the pick of the bunch is the Rocks, who've won all their matches, and they're on 30 points. Mountaineers have won one match after playing one. They had a bye in the first match. So what's happening is that teams are playing back-to-back fixtures. Rocks and Rhinos played back-to-back in the first match, and while Eagles and Tuskers also played back-to-back. Rocks won both matches against Rhinos, while Eagles and Tuskers shared one match each. One of them being an epic one, which Tuskers chased north of 300, with Craig Irvin getting a century. So some great batting that's taking place already, because already we have some really big scores. Just looking at the highest score before I look at the individual scores, the most runs, the highest totals. Mountaineers, coached of course by Dave Houghton, made 363 for 9 against Rhinos. Tuskers, as I say, chased down 314, which had been set by Eagles, and they made 315 for 6. And they did that with 2.1 overs to spare. But after that, the next highest is Rocks with 248. They also got 214 and 185. And all those scores have been good enough to win their matches. In terms of individual runs, we've got three hundreds already. Regis Chakava with 122, Craig Irvin with 118, and the first ever century for the man by the name of Ben Compton, who's playing for Mountaineers. He got his 102 in that 363 that Mountaineers made. Tinom Tombodzi is on his highest score is 93. And Brian Chari, his highest score is 88. Looking at the most runs in the tournament, Regis Chakava leads the way with 162, Sikandar Raza with 122, Brian Chari on 119, Craig Irvin with 118, and we just finish off with the other guys in the hundreds column, being Takuza Kaitano, Ben Compton, and Sifas Juwawa. And looking at the wickets column, what's been happening in the wickets column? The wickets column has seen Tashinga Msekiwa from Rhinos has got the most wickets with 6. He shares that position with Ernest Masugu, who's got 6. Brian Zarabani is getting some form just before we get Afghanistan next month. He's got 5. Tadaka Chiwanga, impressive again this year, who's got 5, and Carl Mumba also got 5. So that's some fun stuff that's happening in the cricket. But the column that I also wanted to talk about is the extras column. In the highest most number of extras conceded in a match this season has been by Rhinos when they conceded 33 against the Mountaineers. And Eagles also were second when they conceded 29 against Tuskers. In that 315 for six. Rhinos conceded 23 against Rocks. Rhinos again conceded 22 against Rocks. So it's not looking good. A lot of the other ones are under 19, under 20, but it's still quite a lot. Mountaineers conceded 19 against Rhinos, while Tuskers conceded 19 against Rocks, and Tuskers also conceded 19 against Eagles. So the bowling is lacking a bit of discipline. If you look at the no balls column, it's bad for the Mountain, for Rhinos in the first match because they conceded five. Okay. But it's the number of wides column or runs conceded from wides columns that is galling. But in as far as no balls, it's not as high as you want to because there are a couple of matches, like for example, when Rhinos conceded 23 extras against Rocks, they had no balls. So there are instances in which the no balls are something that is getting fixed because we also see it as being a problem at international level at times. And also the number of extras that we conceded at international level sometimes tips the game out of our hands. So yeah, it is what it is. Finally, let's talk about the under-19s. Yes, Zimbabwe have now found out the schedule for the under-19 World Cup to be held in the West Indies for the first time. Four countries are hosting the tournament that's in Trinidad and Tobago, Antigua and Barbuda, Guyana, as well as St. Kitts and Nevis. Those are individual countries, by the way. Zimbabwe play all his matches in Trinidad and Tobago, and then Group C with Afghanistan, Papua New Guinea, and Pakistan for the 16-team tournament. Zimbabwe kick off the campaign against Afghanistan on 16 January 2022, before taking on PNG on 20 January 2022. And on 22 January 2022, they round off the group stage against Pakistan. They're going to fancy their chances against PNG. And they might have a slight chance against Afghanistan. But age group cricket is a bit different because you can have a situation where age group sport, players peak at a certain point and then later on, they don't become as great as they can be. So it's a difficult one. There will also be warm-up matches because Zimbabwe has not had the opportunity to play as many warm-up matches as it wished. In fact, very few. Most of the warm-up matches they've been playing have been against senior teams, senior select sides in Harare. So it's a difficult one for them. Because other teams have been playing. Afghanistan and Bangladesh just played one, I think, on Wednesday or Thursday. And Zimbabwe still isn't getting any action in as far as preparations is concerned. So there's only so much you can do in the nets. But they have been playing, I know, on weekends. Playing some matches and trying to get ready. You can do only as much as you can do. And hoping that they will be able to spring a surprise and get at least to the Super Six. But, to be honest, I think they will get into plate. It's called the Super League, not Super Six. they will get to the plate. That's what I think they'll do. The other groups, Group A has got Bangladesh, England, Canada, United Arab Emirates. Group B has got India, Ireland, South Africa, and Uganda. Group C, as I said, is Afghanistan, Pakistan, Papua New Guinea, and us, Zimbabwe. And Group D has got Australia, Scotland. Scotland, by the way, have qualified because New Zealand pulled out because of their own quarantine conditions on return to New Zealand. So they decided, no, they'd be too stringent for minors. Then Sri Lanka and West Indies. So that's it. If you want to take part in, and if you have any ideas in as far as what this tournament, this podcast can be about tournament, really. A podcast can be about, get in touch with me, Larry@3-mob.com, on Twitter at @queedy.ie. That is how you can get in touch with me. On WhatsApp is 0719-903-327, where it just prefixes with a +263 for the country code. And then also, make sure the podcast is now available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podchaser, and a whole bunch of other places. Deezer even, if you're a Deezer listener. So the podcast is getting widely available, in on different platforms. But if you want to take part, I'll be having a lot more voices in the next one. Just been waiting to get a couple of voices, but you know, getting people to get you, to send you stuff could end up you waiting until, you know, a month until you put out an episode. But let's keep the conversation going as the Clubhouse End Podcast. My name is Larry Quiridai. This Clubhouse End Podcast is a production of Three Men on a Boat. And yeah, take care of yourself and the people that you love. As I always say, from where I come from, Asilu Siasebenza. Peace.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.